Welcome to the Colleyville Assembly of God podcast. Our heart is to be completing people in Christ. We pray that you are encouraged by this message. For more information, visit cvassembly.org.
Go and turn to the book of Matthew or Luke chapter number 2, Luke chapter number 2. For those of you joining us on Facebook Live, God bless you. We're so excited to have you with us as well. We call you blessed. I'm excited. We are completing a very brief two-week series called Once Upon a Christmas Carol. Pastor Sterling referred to it, but last week we talked about the song We Three Kings. We looked at unexpected journeys. They went on an unexpected journey. And a faith-filled life following Jesus is full of unexpected twists and turns. Amen? Is anybody, yeah? Okay. You've all had one or two changes in your world from your original plan. Okay, make sure you're with me. So today we're going to finish this up by looking at the idea of I'll be home for Christmas. I'll be home for Christmas. I'm going to ask you to stand with me to honor the reading of the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible or a device, it will be up on the screens as well. It's two verses. We're going to do a little bit different this morning, and I'm going to ask you to give me a little bit of latitude because we're going to take a little different approach today. So Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Father, I thank you that you are an amazing God. I thank you because your word brings hope and your word brings life. I pray, God, for the next few moments, God, as we just turn our attention to you, you would speak to us. Let us have a moment where we walk out of here differently than we came in. Have your way in us today. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Last week, we made this a little interactive, and I'd like to do it again this week. Last week, I had you tell me some of your favorite Christmas carols. And then I had you tell me some of your least favorite Christmas carols. And I'm not going to lie to you. Some of you surprised me with them. Especially, there was a lot of hostility towards Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. A lot of hostility to that one. I feel like maybe some counseling is in order. But what I want to do today is, we're talking about I'll be home for Christmas. And I'm just kind of curious about some family traditions. Now, you can't give me a 30-minute family tradition, because I'm still going to speak, and if you're hungry, we need to not do that. But if you want to share with me kind of quick, give me a couple of traditions some of you do. What is that? Christmas cookies coming to your house. What else?
Open one gift on Christmas Eve.
I'm sorry? African curry. I'm coming to your house too. That sounds interesting. Waffle House on Christmas morning. Why? I'm just kidding. It's all in love. Reading the Bible story before opening gifts. That's one of ours too. I love that one. Family talent show. Awesome. We're going to do one too. Yes, ma'am. Nice. Man, that's great. Worshiping. You guys are spiritual. I love it. You know, my family, we'll do a typical Christmas is, you know, we would, when I was growing up especially, we would do extended family on the 23rd. And then, I don't know if it was the night of the 23rd or the 24th, we would watch A Christmas Carol. I remember the George C. Scott version. I remember watching A Christmas Carol. And then we would do Christmas with my mom. And then the next morning, we would do Christmas with my dad's. And that's just how we did for years and years. Now we've expanded that. I've got my three kids. And I'm going to be a nerd for a minute. I need you to let me be a nerd. What we do now is we've expanded ours to include something called Tuba Christmas. Yeah. Okay? Now, some of you are like, what? Most of you probably know my undergrad's in music. I was a musician before God called me into ministry, and I was a low brass specialist. And so ever since, thank you, Noah, right there, man. Yeah. Ever since in seventh grade, tuba players and euphoniums, which are like small tubas, come together and do Christmas carols in four-part harmony all over the nation. It's awesome. So I played it up until I had to sell my tuba to pay for my daughter. I'm not sure if I got the right end of that stick, but anyways. Are you in here, baby? Oh, sorry about that. Now, and so when Noah, my middle child, my older son, started playing the euphonium in seventh grade, he and I started going back to tuba Christmas. Well, now my youngest seventh grader, who's a pretty good little tuba player, so the three of us this year for the first time are going to go play tuba Christmas together. Yeah. So those traditions are important. Those relationships are important. And this song that we're talking about this morning kind of ties in with that. I'll be home for Christmas. And I want to share a little bit with you about the story as we get into this morning. I'll be home for Christmas was originally recorded by Bing Crosby. Recorded by Bing Crosby originally in 1943, quickly became one of the most famous holiday songs. It's written from the perspective of a soldier in World War II who's overseas. Now, the melody is one that sticks with you. And right now, some of you are singing it in your head and you're welcome. Right? But the message is not the most uplifting because the end of the chorus is, I'll be there if only in my dreams. And that really resonated with a lot of people. It connected with the overseas GIs and with their families who are waiting for the GIs to come home. As a matter of fact, GI Magazine said that Crosby accomplished more for military morale during that period than anybody else did in the entire World War II era. See, Christmas Eve, are you ready for this? Christmas Eve is 1 week from today. It's 1 week from today. You know what that means? I've got to go shopping. If I order on Amazon, she knows what I ordered. I got to go. But the thing is, what I want you to get is there's a lot going on. Christmas next week, Christmas Eve is going to be huge. We've been working on this. We're believing for God for 300 people, 15 people to come to know Jesus next Sunday in this house. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. That's what we celebrate. But we're going to have all kinds of photo booths, all kinds of that type of stuff going on. But Christmas Eve is a big thing. And a lot of times, if we're not careful, we can lose sight of what it's really about. That's why I read to you what I read. I'm going to reread it to you. Verses 10 and 11 just simply say this. And an angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. The fact that Jesus came to earth, took on flesh, became human is good news. Because he prepares a way. He made a way for us to be reunited with the Father. I bring you good news and great joy that will be for all the people. All the people. Then he goes on to say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's easy to get wrapped up in other things. It's easy to get focused on other things. It's easy to get our eyes on a million different things because you are doing this constantly. But the fact of the matter is the focus of the whole thing is about Jesus. It's about God's incredible love that he sent his son for us. And that when we come in and we celebrate, and I, by all means, celebrate, see family, eat, give gifts. I wear a 2X, whatever you want to do. But I want you to get this morning. It's about Jesus. It's about lifting him up this morning. And the thing is, most Americans have an idea of most of the parts of the Christmas story. They have an idea of most of the parts. They see nativity scenes and they can explain it for the most part. But think about this for just a minute. Think about the Christmas story through the lens of our song. We see Joseph and Mary. They go home for the first Christmas. They're going home. It's Joseph's birthplace. They're going home for the first Christmas. And let me tell you, home is a beautiful concept. It's a unique concept. Glenda and I have been married for 21 years. And in those 21 years, we've lived 5 places. The first place we lived in, her brother and his wife had married less than a month before us. They had a house. And they're like, come stay with us for a little while. So we had 2 newlywed couples in a house. And I'll be honest with you, we did a pretty good job juggling, making things work. But there was a part of me as a man who was like, I don't like it. You know why? It's not mine. It's not my house. It's not what I'm wanting. And all of a sudden, early on, I realized what made it home for me was not the fact that the rent was in my name. Looking back on it now, I kind of miss those days. What made it home for me was Glenda was there. That's what made it home. Today, we've lived in the same house for 12 years. What really makes it home is my wife and my three kids are there. We were working late up here, working on the lights and just getting ready for Christmas. And I came home yesterday morning. And as I'm coming, Glenda had left the lights on because we worked all night. As I'm coming up, I see through the living room door, the Christmas tree lights are still on. And I just sat there for a minute, and maybe it was sleep deprivation. I don't know. But I'm looking through the glass, looking at this tree, and I'm like, that's what it's about. It's home. It's home. And I will tell you, it's about people. It's about the relationships. It's about those types of things. You know, you can go back to a place and remember an occurrence, an event. Chances are you're probably more likely going to remember the people who were with you when you did it. It's about people. It's about those things. That's what made I'll Be Home for Christmas so popular. Is that it's the idea of relationships. Think about it. I'll be home for Christmas, right? You know, you can count on me. When you can count on somebody, you're in a relationship with someone. You're in a covenant with someone. That's why we can count on Jesus. But you can count on somebody. And then the mistletoe. That's all about smooching with your sweetheart. All right? You need one of these. But you understand what I'm saying? That whole idea, this whole thing, it's all about where love's light gleams. Until I started researching this, I didn't know those words. Love light gleams. I had to like reread it four times to make sure I was really understanding. That whole idea of when there's love, it just fills the room. It just fills the room. Because people are important. Relationships are important. That's what makes this year so much more special. That's what makes every Christmas special. I told you a minute ago. We'll do Christmas Eve morning here, and we're going to see people come to know Jesus. Then we're going to go, and we'll have Christmas Eve around a dinner table with my mom and Bill, and we'll have dinner, and then we're going to open gifts. We'll wake up the next morning. We're going to have Christmas with our kids at home. Then we're going to go to my dad's in Burleson and have breakfast around a breakfast table and have gifts. And then we're going to drive to Glenrose at 2:00 for lunch, and we'll have Christmas there. And then we're going to crash. And why do we do that? Because family's important. People are important. Some of you have 14 stops you're going to make today or this week, and that's because family. Some of you will be traveling to other parts of the nation. It's about family. It's about people being important, spending time with them. But the fact is, it's easy to get caught up in things that really don't matter, that are not as important. You know, the whole commercialism of Christmas makes us lose sight of what it's about. You know, a few weeks ago, we had Black Friday. We had Small Business Saturday. We had Cyber Monday. We have all of these things that make it easier to give gifts and show love. And that's good. I'm not knocking that. But what I am saying is we can give our very best to our loved ones, but that's not the point. Today, it's about home. It's about relationships. It's about a relationship with Jesus and with the people that you love and you care about. Because a home is bigger than things. It's bigger than gifts. It's about your relationship with one another and ultimately building your house on the cross. Building your house, building your home as a marriage that is centered on Jesus. When I do premarital counseling, I tell couples all the time, you want your marriage to succeed, you build it at the foot of the cross. You don't build it on self-help books. You don't build it to 14 steps to a better you. You build it to who Jesus is and who Jesus wants to be in your life. Building your marriage on the rock. So how do you do that? What does that look like? Well, first of all, going into debt is not necessarily the way to do it for temporary gifts. A little side note there. Dave Ramsey fans love that one. But how do you do that? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7, he says, and the rain fell and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Thank you. It had been founded on the rock. There it is. Everything is built on the rock. It's built on Jesus. It's built on who he is and him being the foundation of your marriage and of your relationships. You build your home on that rock. You put your life and you start to line up those priorities to make that work. How do you do that? You ready for this? I'm going to give you practical steps for a couple minutes. The first thing I'd tell you is this. Are you ready? Budget for the holidays. Budget for the holidays. Now, here's what I mean by that. What two resources do most people tend to struggle with at this time of year? Money and time. Money and time. Let's be real. How many of you are like, man, Christmas is 8 days away? I've got this. Counting fee. I mean, and you get really rattled and you're like, ah! You know, read on social media. Everybody gets really ramped up. Everything's going on. We get so stressed with everything. See, because most of us, there's not enough of either. Am I right? We don't have enough money to do what we want to do. We certainly don't have enough time to do what we want to do. Could you imagine if you had free time right now? You'd be wondering, what did I forget? Where am I supposed to be? What did I not do right? And I know the word budget can be scary. Not all of you have a Glenda. I have a Glenda. And I make jokes all the time that she could be Amish. Because, well, I mean, like, we get the electric bill. She's like, do we really need this? I came home the other day, she was churning butter. No, I'm just kidding. But what I am saying is this. Glenda looks for the best ways to get it as cheap as we can. She's looking for every way to try and make things work the best that we can. And Dave Ramsey says every couple has a nerd and a free spirit. I'm the free spirit. I hate budgeting. I hate it. What's funny is when I walk in this door, I become the nerd. I do. I turn over and I get real hardcore on those things. We've got to understand budgeting is important in this process. You know, we'll see good sales, you know, oh, it's a good deal. And I'll tell you, every retailer will do his best to make sure you know it's a good deal. You know, as you're going down Santa Claus Way, you know what I'm talking about? We'll make sure that you know that. And there are Christmas parties that you want to go to. I got office Christmas party, staff Christmas party, this Christmas party, that Christmas party. A good one, by the way, tonight, 6 p.m. Christmas party with your community groups. But you want to be at this, and you want to be at that, and you want to be at this, and you get yourself in a place where you can't really remember why you're doing it to start with. We can get our eyes on everything but Jesus. If you'll budget your resources, budget your time. See, a budget, what it is you time or money, you look at it the same way. A budget starts with available resources, not a desired result or resources. That's where you have to start. You have to look at some things. You have 8 days left to shop if you're going to shop. 8 days, that's it. Every one of us have 24 hours. You can't have 27. Part of me thinks it'd be nice if we did, but you know what we do? We'd fill those 3 hours too. We would. We all have 24 hours. We all theoretically need to sleep 6 to 8 hours. Okay? What you do with the rest of it is how you budget your time. What is it that's priority? How do you go about this process? How do you do this? You know, the only real difference in this is maybe you have more vacation time than someone else. But you've got to realize, are you really? Hear me, I'm giving you permission on this. You've got to realize you can't be at everything every time. And it's okay. It's okay to not be at everything. With that said, I'm gonna be just real for a minute. That applies to your pastoral staff too. Okay? Our pastoral staff work hard. They can't be at everything. They just can't. If they and Glenda and I were at everything, we could do it for about 6 months, and then we'd be the most unhealthy pastoral staff around. What it is that makes the church healthy is when the leadership stays healthy and the people stay healthy. So sometimes to just say, I can't, is okay. It really is okay. And I know, in the assembly of God, we're good at guilt. I get that. I grew up AG. All right? I was AG 9 months before I was born. I understand how that works. But I want you to get me when I say this. It's okay to say no and budget your time. But that means you have to then prioritize things. Make conscious decisions about what's best and then have the discipline to stick with it. We decided a few months ago, there is a word called stick-to-itiveness. There's something in you that you stick to what it is that you're going to do. Why? Because if you come through Christmas and your eyes are on everything but Jesus, and it's on everything but what it's really about and building relationships, what good was it? If you spent 10 minutes here and 15 minutes there and 20 minutes there, but you're exhausted and you didn't make any contact with anybody, and you certainly didn't make it about the Lord, what good is it? Understanding there are times you have to prioritize is part of it. Budgeting time, budgeting money can reduce stress. Do you know that studies show November and December, there's a heightened level of stress and worry in our culture? There is. We get really worked up. We start focusing on all kinds of other things. I want to challenge you this morning. Depression kicks in. Things that we struggle with, demands on our time, on our money, they're high. But we need to be about what makes it important. It's people. And I want to shift gears on something, because those relationships with your people, that's where it's at. I'm in a very unique place in my life. I have three kids that are amazing kids, and they're thriving. I'm watching them do some neat things. My oldest, though, moves out of my house in 2 weeks. She's moving off to school. And there's a lot of this. No, I'm just kidding. It's a mixed emotions piece. I've wanted to try and redeem as much time with her as I can. My boys, I want to redeem as much time as I can with them, because realistically, in not that short a time, or not that long a time, they're going to be gone. Redeem those moments. I heard somebody tell me one time, I was talking to a pastor friend who's a mentor, and I said, what would you do differently? He said, I'd spend more time in the toy store. Slow down and enjoy your family. Slow down and enjoy the relationships that are there. Slow down and spend time with people and care about people. One of the things with this one's on us card that is so significant is letting somebody know that you care. This community, if they want an Apple Watch, they'll go buy an Apple Watch. If they want an iPad, they'll go buy an iPad. But if you buy their Starbucks and they get a card and it says, Merry Christmas, this one's on us, that just says, hey, we care. We care. That caring needs to translate to another group of people, though, this time of year. Grief is exacerbated at this time of year. This year, there'll be a lot of people who will sit down at a dinner table and there'll be somebody that's not there that was there the year before. There'll be a lot of people that are really going to struggle this year. Holidays just bring it out. Holidays tend to bring out those feelings, that difficult time. You know, that struggle piece. That's real. I can remember Glenda's dad passed away in 2009. Christmas of 2010. I don't know that really we said very much, but there was a noticeable difference in Christmas. There are a lot of people this morning, and I feel like a bunch of you in this room, the loss could be several years old. And yet this week, it will become very fresh again. And I want to speak into that, because number one, Jesus is here. Remember, it's about him. And he wants to bring peace. He'll give comfort. He'll be with you during that. But the second piece is this, and it's what I want to challenge you on. What if we were to show that love? What would that look like if we realized there may be somebody in this house that may not have anywhere to be Christmas morning? We said, you know what? We'll put an extra place at the table. Come have Christmas with us. Come have a meal with us. Come be a part of what we're doing. What would that look like? We talk all the time about being a church that loves. Our vision is to be completing people in Christ. One of the best ways we can do it is a very tangible way. Say, you know what? I know it's a tough time. What if you came and sat with us? Maybe you don't have a meal. Maybe you go to Waffle House. Waffles are never bad. I'm sorry. You're right. My bad. But what if you say, you know what? We're going to go to Waffle House. Would you like to join us? Just reaching out in a very tangible way to show the love of Jesus. That's what our challenge needs to be. Look for opportunities to share the love of Jesus. Many of you know that I do part-time work for a hospice. I've been doing it for 10 years. And a lot of my bereavement type of stuff will kick in even stronger this time of year. People are struggling. We want to love them. Because if we're going to be a family of Christ, then we do it together. We walk through, we do life together. No one celebrates alone. No one hurts alone. We need to be together. We need to be doing life together and walk each other through that. The loss of a loved one increases in intensity this time of year. It just does. So with that said, I want to get ready to close. The real heart of this song, servicemen and women during the war dreaming of being home for Christmas. But I'm going to close this story. I'm going to finish the story. I'm going to be Paul Harvey here and give you the rest of the story. I'm not going to lie to you. You might need a tissue. I might too. So we'll see if we can do this. The story goes that actually how this came about was back in 1940, a chaplain on the battleship North Carolina knew that the crew was feeling, or I'm sorry, 1941, knew the crew was feeling homesick as they're expected to be overseas during the holiday season. So this chaplain had an idea. He collects $5 from every crew member that had children back home. He then makes a list of all those that gave him money, and he got the names of the kids, he got the addresses and all of that together, and he sent the money and all that information to Macy's department store and said, would you guys take this money, buy gifts for their kids, and send the gifts to these addresses so they'll have a gift from their parent on Christmas morning? And so that was the idea, what really drove that. Now, Kim Gannon, she's the one that wrote I'll Be Home for Christmas. She heard that story, and that's what inspired her to write the song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. 1943 rolls around, and the chaplain on the battleship, North Carolina, again, he knew that they were struggling with this one more time. So he did it again. He asked for money, got the addresses, did all that, and he sent it off to Macy's, and he did it a little bit earlier. Well, Macy's said, you know what? Not only will we take care of that and give them the gifts, we're going to do something special. They had the addresses of all of the soldiers' families, the sailors' families, brought the families in. They recorded a greeting. So Christmas morning, all of these sailors are on the ship, and they have a show, you know, singing and dancing and all of that good stuff. And at the end of it, all of a sudden, a video comes up, and it's one of the sailors' family greeting him. And one by one, each sailor's family got to see, or each sailor got to see his family on the screen. And that's where the idea really started moving. And this song really became popular. But here's the thing. Each sailor got to experience a gift of their own because Macy's went the extra mile. Macy's didn't have the technology that we have today. We could take a camera and go anywhere and shoot anything and have it ready to go in minutes. We're talking in the 40s, reel to reel, and everything that went into that. Macy's went the extra mile for the soldiers. And I tell you that because these men, as they sat and they watched this, they cried, they wept, they laughed as their wives and their children and their families all came before them. But then they really were reminded what Christmas was really about on December 25th, 1943. I think if I were to really drive home one major thought for this message, it would simply be this. Let love be the center of your Christmas. Let love be the center of your Christmas. First and foremost, your love for Jesus. Your love for the people you're in relationship with. And then the people that you come into contact with that you could show the love of Jesus. Pastor Sterling talked about IHOP this morning. It blew our minds. It was really neat. Was the guys and I, we blessed our server. We had the same server every Sunday for a year. We had the same server. We got to know her. I invited her to Christmas Eve next week. She's working on Sunday, but I told her she should quit and come. But here's the deal. As she was there for a year, we've shown her the love of Jesus. And the thing is, not one time did we have to preach to her, but she saw our witness and we shared love. Look for the opportunities to let love be the center of your Christmas. That's what it's all about. Look for those opportunities, because Christmas is one of two historic events that changed everything. We have Christmas, the birth of the Messiah, and we have Easter, where we celebrate his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Without Christmas, there is no Easter. Without Easter, Christmas doesn't matter. We have to have both. But those two things change everything.